Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Joey Miller to the broadcast. Joey is Vice President of Information Technology for Magna International. She has a global responsibility for Magna IT and is also chair of the Magna IT Council, which is the governance board for all IT activity within Magna International. Prior to her current position, Joey was Director of IT for Magna Donnelly. She also has served as Manager of Global Infrastructure and Manager of Global Support for Donnelly Corporation. Her area of expertise focused on building effective virtual teams to support the global enterprise. Joey has also served as project manager and divisional manager at Clark Equipment, where she designed and implemented systems for Clark's international manufacturing facilities and dealer network. Joey's other experiences include technology and business consultant to Western Michigan University and independent consulting for Fortune 500 corporations and a number of other organizations. Joey has a BA degree in anthropology from Albion College and an MA degree in sociology and anthropology from Oberlin College. I recently caught up with Joey in her office outside of Toronto, and our discussion covered World-Class IT Principle 1, People, as we spoke about Magna IT's organizational structure and its implications, Principle 3, Project and Portfolio Management, as we discussed Joey's governance model, Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as we discussed Magna IT's fee-for-service relationships with its business partners, as well as some other topics. Joey Miller, thank you so much for joining us today on the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Well, Joey, I wonder if you could take a moment and give us an overview of your role at Magna, and even perhaps taking even a further step back, a little bit more of an overview of what it is that Magna does.
Okay, let's start with Magna. Magna is a world-class and probably the most diverse automotive supplier in the world. We are about 70,000 employees strong right now. Mm-hmm. We're located in 25 different countries, and we supply almost every part of the automobile that you can imagine. So if you're sitting in a car, there's a good chance that we made the seat that you're sitting on.
Mm-hmm.
The drivetrain that's driving your car, we made. The body of the car, we probably made. The windshield, the mirrors, the interior. And the outside fascia as well. So what Magna does and does really well is manufacture and support the automotive industry. We are in just about every OEM that there is, and we take great pride in offering a great product at a great price. The way we are organized, and Magna is very proud of this because it's a big part of our growth, is we're very decentralized.
Mm-hmm.
So we organize our company in by product pretty much, and those become groups or major groups. So when we look at vehicle, the vehicle group, we'd be looking at the parts of the company that make the powertrain, and that also we have a group called Steyr who actually makes complete vehicles, high niche vehicles.
I see.
And then if we looked at a group called Cosma, that would be the body. So we have major groupings within Magna that are organized by product. And those groupings are headed by a chief operating officer, and then it comes up to the global Magna organization.
I see.
So that tells you a little bit about who Magna is. How I fit into Magna is my title is Vice President of Information Technology for Magna International, which is a new position really for Magna because of our decentralized nature. Magna has always had directors or even vice presidents at the group level for IT.
I see.
And they have been charged with making sure that their group's IT is robust and filling the business needs and also offering support to the division level IT. If we look at the Magna structure of IT, think of it in three layers. The top layer for us is the division. That's where our parts are made and we ship and meet our customers' demands. The division is run by the general manager. He selects and also controls the IT that's in place at that division. So it's very autonomous for IT there. Whatever systems they choose to use, how they choose to meet that customer demand is done at a divisional level. Then the next layer up is the group. And as I mentioned, that's organized by the product that we have. A group IT person would be supplying the backbone or the advice to the divisions to help them out. So for example, there's more and more technology that's required in the manufacturing process.
Yes.
So as we look at MES systems and we look at more sophisticated ERP systems, many times it would be the group IT who are offering support to the divisional layer, because that divisional layer is usually maybe just one or two people.
I see.
Then go up or go down to the bottom layer, which is Magna itself. And from an IT perspective, and that's really where my direct reports reside, we provide the foundation of, or the glue, if you will, of what keeps Magna connected as Magna. So the wide area network we run and we support to all Magna divisions. Messaging, we run both Lotus Notes and Exchange throughout Magna, but the common address book is coming through this Magna layer. EDI many times is through this Magna layer.
I see.
And this Magna layer is what we call Magna IT. And those would be my direct reports. It's a global team. Mm-hmm. We're located in four geographic areas, but we work synergistically as one team.
Wow, it sounds incredibly complex. I'm fascinated to hear more about that. I with such a diverse array of IT functions, a very decentralized IT function, how then do you coordinate activities with peers of yours or other colleagues of yours who are working in the groups, the products, these other divisional IT functions?
We do have a governance model.
Okay.
And the governance model is that we have an IT council.
Okay.
The IT council I chair, mm-hmm. but the council is made up of representatives from each of the major groups. So each of our COOs, and we have four of them, have nominated a representative, and it's usually their group director, to sit on the IT council. The IT council then is relatively small. There's about eight of us who sit on the council. And our charter is to look at IT across Magna and identify those areas which need to be optimized to keep Magna strong and to provide the flexibility for growth that Magna needs, and also to communicate across groups on various issues or technologies. The council will meet as frequently as every 2 weeks, or during the summer we meet once a month.
I see.
But it is a regular activity, and I really use it as my sounding board or my vetting board for some of the projects and some of the expansion that Magna IT, which is that third layer of mm-hmm. Magna's IT.
Yes.
I use the council to vet that.
Mm-hmm. And with such a global team, as you mentioned, and operating in 25 countries, have you employed solutions to allow virtual teams to operate and flourish? How have you thought about that?
Yes, and you'll notice, Peter, that every time I answer, I usually answer with two answers. One is I'll speak about Magna IT, or that third layer, and then one I'll talk about Magna overall, because I live in both worlds.
Yes.
So from a Magna IT standpoint, we've used a lot of tools. Again, we're located in Michigan. Mm-hmm. We have a team located in Canada, which mm-hmm. is one of our headquarters. We have a team located in Austria, which is our other headquarters. I don't know if you're aware, but Magna actually has two headquarters, two CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of our diversified culture.
Yes.
And then we have a fourth team that's located in Shanghai.
I see.
So, but this team works virtually. We do a lot of web conferencing. We share responsibilities across the board, so we don't duplicate. In other words, if you look at our server team,
mm-hmm.
The Unix support is all coming out of Michigan, for example, because they're able to reach into the systems and do what they need to do virtually. We have a common platform. I think probably the key to our success is not so much in using the virtual technology tools, which are certainly a help, but I think the real key is in the platform of the team.
Ah, okay.
So we have a common project management methodology. We're all on the same page.
I see.
The help desk that we use is universal. It happens to be physically located in Holland and in Shanghai, so we can do follow the sun, but they reach into all parts of the Magna IT team seamlessly by using a common tool.
I
so
see.
We're always online with them. We're mm-hmm. able to look at open tickets. We're able to do trend analysis. We get the same set of KPIs to see how we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in Magna IT actually participates in time tracking. It's the similar system, so we can look and see how our resources are being utilized, and we can do some capacity planning that way. We also have the same change control system or change management system, and we have the same documentation that we use for any type of system specs.
I see.
So we're using a common platform, and I think that that's really important in developing a common team, no matter where you're physically located.
That's great, and it certainly sounds like a great way to grapple with the complexity that you clearly have with the geographies, the multiple headquarters, the fact that the sun never sets on your company, that there's so much that's commonality that you've baked into the process to ensure that you've simplified as much as you can.
Yes. Now, if I answered the other side of the question, which Magna overall, as in my role looking at Magna as an enterprise, we've also deployed some tools such as we have a common video conf or first we have a call conferencing
I
system,
see, yes.
which everyone is using, and we've had a lot of good cost containment with that, as well as there's a lot more communication going on. We've recently added onto that a common web conferencing.
Oh, okay.
So people are able to do web conferencing seamlessly across the organization, and that has made a significant difference as well. We are looking at other technologies such as telepresence, and I think when our industry gets a little bit stronger, we'll probably do some deployment there as well.
That's great. Wonderful. I as I was preparing for this interview, I was really intrigued to learn that you operate as a fee for service IT shop. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit more about this. I know that you've spoken in the past about how you put together your own plans, your own solutions in business terms, and you charge for the services that you provide your quote unquote client, which is the business in this case. Can you talk about the rationale for that and the benefits you've garnered for pursuing that path?
Sure. This is something that I really believe very strongly in. I've been in IT for a long time, and as you talk to other IT leaders, as you look at IT and the role that IT plays across a variety of industries, you still hear, after many years, from the business, "I don't really understand what IT does. IT is this black hole of money." You hear from the IT community a lot on, "We need to have a seat at the table. We need to be strategic." And I think a lot of that is because we deal in two different vocabularies and in two different terms. Now, Magna is a manufacturing company. We're metal benders. We're straightforward. What we do is we make car parts. So I need to take IT and put it in the terms of what we deal with daily.
Yes.
And that's in business terms. What, you know, I need to have a PC out on the production floor. What's that cost me? What is it that I get? And also, we're always looking at where are we adding value? Where is it that, what is the cost? And what is the value that you get out of that? There isn't a better way of doing that than taking the IT services that you provide, putting them in business terms, and then telling the company what it costs to provide that. So in Magna, we've, because of our decentralized nature, I've taken it to a further level. For those services that we provide, and Magna, this third layer, this Magna IT, will provide a variety of services depending on what a group or division asks for. There are some divisions and groups who don't have any IT at all. We do it all, from the desktop support to the phones to the ERP system to the HRIS system, every single piece of IT service we provide to them.
I see.
And then there are some groups and divisions that maybe we're only providing their wide area network and possibly EDI. They get to pick and choose. And that's very important in a decentralized culture because they're in control. My job is to explain what I can offer as a service, tell them what it costs, and make sure that what I'm offering is something that is truly value add. Now, I may not be the lowest cost provider, but it may be that what I provide has enough service and has enough support and has enough understanding of the business
Yes.
that it truly is value add. Then once I have that defined, every month I provide an invoice. This is what you asked for. This is what we gave you, just in very simple terms, and this is your cost. And the cost is based on the amount consumed. So, for example, for those that we supply ERP for, we host the ERP system. We deliver it in companies, if you will, virtual companies. So that's how I'm able to control it. And all I do is charge it out by the amount of concurrent uses or licenses that they've used that month.
I
So
see.
it's very much based on consumption.
Okay.
Why this is so powerful, especially in this past 12 months that all of us have been faced with, we've all been faced with, I've got to contain costs. And I think for the majority of the IT departments, what they hear is, I need you to cut 10% or I need you to take 20% or whatever.
Exactly.
In this model, in a fee-for-service model, you don't get that. What you get is a general manager or a group president or someone calling you to the table and saying, I can't afford this anymore. And you're sitting there with the invoice in hand, showing all the services that you provide for them and say, I get that. Now let's work together and decide what it is we should cut.
That's wonderful.
And they can do that. And they're again in control, but they also understand. And it's no longer IT, you know, saying, okay, I can do that, but we're running a risk. You know, you're
Exactly.
working at it together and you're working at it in business terms.
Boy, that really sounds smart.
Yeah, and it really works well. By the same token, as you expand, and one of Magna's strengths is that we've grown through a lot of acquisition. When someone is looking to acquire a plant or to add, they know what their costs are. So they can say, well, if I'm going to add three more production lines into this facility, I can see that if they're going to be configured this way, this is what my IT cost is going to be. If I'm going to add another 10 office employees that are going to be in this type of a profile, because we do everything by profiles, it's going to cost me this much.
Yes.
And that's very, very powerful.
That's
Now, the
great.
downside of that is inside IT, you've got to do all that tracking.
And how may I ask actually, can you dive a little bit into the details of that? How do you do that tracking? Does it mean, for instance, that you have to have as IT has transformed into this model, has it meant bringing in people that have more business savvy, who actually even know the finances behind services to a greater extent? How has that transformation happened?
Well, I actually have a CFO.
Oh, okay.
So Magna IT has a CFO. So I have a finance man who helps us organize it and run the numbers, because I'm not, and traditionally a lot of IT people, we're really not into the bean counting side of the business, but
Exactly.
he's great at it. What it requires first on is time tracking, which is never popular. But once you get it going, it works really well, and time tracking is very valuable. What I really concentrate on with time tracking, I really don't care how much time you spend in meetings and that type of thing. I'm not looking to add up to see if you've brought in your hours.
Right.
What I'm looking at basically is the time that you spent on projects, because projects you bill out by the amount of resource consumed. And what I'm looking at backing up is the overall metric of how many hours are we spending on projects versus support. Because as the support hours go down and the project go up, one, my
Yes.
revenue is going to go up, but two, also it tells me that our process improvement plans are working, right?
That's great.
So time tracking is very important. Across all four regions, we use the same budget template. And basically, what our charge is, we're not out here for profit. So everything that it costs us to create a service or to run a service is what we need to recoup.
Yes.
So the budget process becomes very, very detailed in that each line item that a budget manager has will correspond to a rate or to a group of rates. So at the end of the day, everything balances out.
I see.
Now, what becomes very interesting and I think is also very successful is you're always working with cost containment. You're always looking for better ways to contain your costs. And we continue to do that. So what happens is many times at the end of a quarter, we'll look at what did we actually spend and what did we actually invoice out. And there will be a delta there. If there is a delta, I refund to my customers, which makes me very, very popular, right?
Exactly.
IT gives money back. Whoa. Now, everyone in IT will then say, well, yeah, great. What happens when you go in the hole?
Right.
If I go in the hole, then it is my challenge to figure out how I'm going to make up that deficit.
I see.
I
I
only
see.
will revise rates on a yearly basis because, and in fact, we're in that process right now where we're building the 2010 budget. We're looking at all our rates for the services that we provide,
Yes.
and we'll make any adjustments. And then I have to feed that back out to Magna overall so that then they can put together their 2010 plan.
That's great. Boy, it sounds like a very sound process and one that really builds bridges between IT and the business by putting the things you're doing in their terms.
Yes.
That's really fantastic. I want to switch gears a little bit, Joey. I know that in preparing for this, your education and training is actually as a cultural anthropologist and a social scientist, which is not necessarily the background of a lot of the interviewees we've had in the forum. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about how you've used this training in your current role, and as well as perhaps a little bit more of a history as to how you found your way into IT.
That's a good question. Well, it was a long time ago. Let me just say that as an anthropologist, anthropologists deal with culture and they
Yes.
deal with relationships. So there's a lot of similarity, believe it or not. What I'm really interested in and what I love is the relationship between technology or IT and the business. And when you find a solution or when there's a problem, it's all in the relationship, either on how the technology meets the difference and then all the actual human sides that make that happen. But it's really relationships. And so that training on being able to recognize relationships, being able to recognize stress, and also where organizations or culture reinforce belief systems. In an odd way, if you put that in place, it really works within a business setting. You know, there's a relationship between production and non-production workers, and therefore it's reflected in the systems that you provide to them. There's a relationship between the different layers of an enterprise and how you provide to them. On a really basic and yet very important level, when you look at an international organization such as Magna, we are all over the world. And our staff, our people, which is our most important asset, are coming from all different cultures. So it's really important that we recognize that because that's part of our strength. And that has really made a big difference in building a virtual team.
It sounds like that, therefore, you're actually using your educational background quite significantly, in fact, in the role that you have.
In an odd way, yes. I mean, could I tell you, is it planned? No. I mean,
Of course not,
I've
yeah.
been in IT for almost 30 years, so it's
Sure.
been a long time. But I think those skills are there. I think the skills, and more importantly, is keeping an open mind and always be ready to learn and to be a good learner is the most important thing.
That's great.
You know, that makes a huge difference.
Well, it sounds like so much of what you're talking about, not only in the answer to this question, but also the prior ones, is thinking about how IT aligns itself better with the business, understanding the business's problems, as you just mentioned, the listening aspect to that, and the empathy that's required to make sure that you're providing the right solution. So I think I can certainly see how that background and that way of thinking has made things a bit easier for you.
I think so. I think it's been a hidden blessing. Yes.
Yes. Well, it
Yeah.
makes a lot of sense. Well, one final question, Joey.
Sure.
As you look to the future, I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about some of your priorities. What do you see from the perspective of IT as you look forward? What are some things that are exciting you?
Well, what I'm really doing now is a very delicate dance, and that is really taking optimization to a higher level.
I see.
When you look at an organization the size of Magna,
Yes.
and as the auto industry starts coming out of the challenges that it's been in,
Yes.
we need to have even more flexibility, even more agility, to meet the needs of tomorrow. And the way we're going to have to do that is not in the way that we've done it in the past. We need to be able to have our systems, our backbone, much more optimized, much more, the data has to be readily available, it has to be more consistent. And yet, by the same token, a big part of our strength is the decentralization.
Yes.
So working with the IT Council, we're looking first, the first priority is let's look at those back office systems that don't deal directly with business process, that don't deal directly with how we manufacture a part,
Yes.
and let's optimize
I
those. So
see.
things like your email platform, things like EDI, we
Yes.
already have the WAN, storage, data storage, all those really need to be optimized, put together, and then just supplied to the groups and divisions. But we need to
Yes.
pull it out of our groups and divisions because they have so much that they need to do that it's just becoming fragmented, and it doesn't give us the agility we need. So that's priority number one.
Okay.
Priority number two will be to set up centers of excellence, and it either can be done at the Magna level or it can be done shared across the group level. But for example, we have multiple different flavors of ERP systems out there, but there are some major ones that our groups are using. We need to take that knowledge, band it together, and make it available for all of Magna to use. So, for example, we use SAP in quite a few of our divisions and even at our group offices. But each of the groups or divisions, they have their own SAP experts, and then they augment with outside. What we need to do is gather that strength together and make it available for all of Magna to be able to pull from. So Center of Excellence is also definitely high on the priority list. And then third, is to look at those systems which really support the enterprise overall. So, for example, capital tracking, something like sales forecast or quoting or quality systems. Start looking at those and saying, how can we standardize those? Still be able to provide the unique needs of what a group and a division needs, but really be able to pull it up to a more central platform so that we can start building a master data layer to make those enterprise-wide decisions that are going to be out there tomorrow.
Well, that's great. Well, it sounds like you will have some very interesting challenges to solve in the year ahead, and plenty of value that you'll continue to be creating on behalf of your business.
We're looking forward to it, yes.
Well, Joey, this has really been a great interview. I really appreciate you taking this time and speaking with us on the forum on World Class IT.
You're very welcome.
Just listen to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. This forum has been created so that we might have a series of discussions with a variety of IT leaders to understand, evaluate, and define world-class performance as it relates to Meta Strategies' five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in a reactive mode, constantly fighting fires. If, however, systems and hardware work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It's important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development to quality assurance through to support and all of the other aspects of the IT department, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming crucial to corporations, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our sound editor is Chris Davis, our web editor is Christian Dooley, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.